Right at it. Right at it.
Oh,
he's done it again. Just as he did at the John Deere for his first win.
The new year, and welcome back to 2022, the Go Get That Pod, episode 17, schedule prediction. We have a lot to look forward to in this new year for sure. I'm getting over my third cold in 6 weeks, so I apologize if I sound a little nasally, but we had to get this out, so here we are. And yeah.
The first episode of 2022. The second year of the Go Get That Podcast, technically, because we started in 2021.
It's true.
And we'll get into Kapalua in the next podcast, but the break is over. Starting next week, we begin a 7+ month long journey.
Break's over for us as well. We had a nice little 2.5 weeks to relax, but now we're going to have multiple episodes out a week. So
yeah,
a lot of grind to come. But yeah,
can tell Bob's pretty confident. He's got his Spieth John Deere shirt on, the green classic.
It's sadly not. This is one of his new ones.
Oh, really?
It's this new material. It's like the thick material, you know? Do you guys have any of those? It's not the normal material.
Oh, I was going to say, because he's worn green like twice ever.
Yeah. I really want that. I miss that shade of green that he used to wear on Sunday.
Yeah.
And like the Masters and stuff, so...
Be sick if we get green at Augusta. I'd be sick.
Did that in 2014, so
fire back.
Yeah,
I gotta bring it back. He will be at the Masters. That is my bold schedule prediction take. I know it's not very, you know, we'll get into it, but
yeah, we'll get into it. All right. Well, obviously we're gonna have to start off with Kapalua, because obviously Kapalua, it's officially on the schedule. He's playing next week. He's officially in the field as of yesterday. But we're just going to go month by month. So we'll start with January. And January is the tournament champions, Sony Open, American Express, and Farmers. I'm going to go ahead and cut American Express out of there, because he will not be playing the American Express. I can guarantee you that.
Never have.
But the other three are interesting. Obviously, he's playing Century, but I think there's a lot of discussion to be said about Sony. He hasn't committed yet, but he is in Hawaii, so I don't really see a reason why he wouldn't play. I don't know what your guys' takes are on that, but I think he's going to play personally.
I have a whole schedule, and we'll go through every month. I have him playing 23, and in January I do have Century, Sony, and Farmers.
Really?
Okay. I do. So I think he'll play Sony. He said the last time he was at Century, I look forward to playing these two tournaments back to back to begin my year every year.
Yeah.
So again, and I don't see I'm curious to see the amount of players that play Century going to Sony. But you're flying all the way to Hawaii, which is 5+ hours. I just think playing two tournaments instead of one with all the flying that you got to do just makes sense. So I think he'll be at Sony. But we don't have a commitment yet, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I bet he'll be at Sony as well. I remember last year, what was it? He got sick maybe, and he didn't. He didn't qualify for Century.
Yeah, but he did get. He got sick. Or no, that was the year before.
It might have been a couple years ago, but he didn't go to
sick
Sony.
Quite a few times.
Yeah, but he didn't go to Sony because he was saying this on SiriusXM with Colt and Drew about how it's just easier. It's a lot easier to go play the Sony when you're already at the Century. So I bet he's there. And then, like you mentioned, American Express, no chance. Then I think the real interesting one here is really this next like 4 weeks, although the schedule is pretty actually get into it. But Farmers is interesting because he plays terribly at Torrey Pines, unless it's the U.S. Open, I guess, right? He got what, T20 last year, right? Somehow. But like
shows how good his year was.
The other year, it's like it's a T58 at the Farmers, but he's there because it's a big event. So I have no idea, right, with like the baby. And, you know, does he only want 1 week off before presumably playing four in a row, or does he want 2 weeks off before playing three in a row? I don't know. My guess is that he's there. And I think I don't have high expectations for that week at all, but my guess is that he's there.
I also have him playing the Farmers. I didn't see him playing it if the schedule was the same as last year, but I don't know. I think he wants to play as many tournaments as possible, and there's a stretch in the middle of May that I just don't see him playing a tournament really for a month. So I really do think that he is going to tee up at Farmers, even if it's just to try and make the cut and get a few FedEx Cup points. Plus, he loves the course. As much as his scores don't show it, he's talked about how much he loves Torrey Pines. I know we don't agree at all, but he does look forward to that event every year. He's talked about, and plus, if I'm not saying I think that's going to happen, but if Tiger does play, that would be quite a tournament to miss out on, I'd say. I think there'd be a lot more hype around it, but I don't think Tiger will play that tournament, but yeah. Just wanted to say that. And then you look at the next, three. I mean, Pebble Beach is a must because he's a AT&T like sponsor.
Already committed too, right?
Exactly. He's already committed. Waste Management, he said he'll be back there. And the Genesis, I mean, I feel like that's just a hard tournament to skip, even if you wanted to. And I think
he's playing all three. It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Those three are about as lock them in about as much as you can lock something in without an official commitment, because he talks about how he loves a lot of courses, but Genesis is one of them, or the
Riviera, that's his favorite in the world.
Like is you one said. Of them. Yeah. So he will be there, and 4 weeks in a row, if he plays the Farmers, is nothing that he can't do or hasn't done before. And especially with the Honda the next week, it seems like a pretty easy, like, 3 or 4 weeks, depending on if he plays Farmers, and then take a break at the Honda before we get into March. And
so I want to say one thing about the Honda. We have seen Jordan play six tournaments in a row this time of year before. If there is, on the off chance, he skips the Farmers, I do think he tees it up at Honda, because he said last year he's always wanted to play that course, just never fit his schedule. And I do think if he skips Farmers, I think that gives him a much better opportunity, because he'd go there to the Arnold Palmer, to the Players, and then I think he'd skip Valspar, as much as I think that – I mean, I think that there's a chance he plays Valspar too, but at that point, that's six going into the Masters, and I don't see that at all. So I see him, I would say I do not, I think that the Honda is a better chance than the Valspar, as much as that might be surprising to some of you. I just don't see him playing five tournaments going into the Masters. That's just not something I see at all.
Yeah.
I don't give the Honda more than a 20%, 15% chance, but I think that that's higher than you can say for the Valspar.
Yeah. I had two maybes throughout the whole schedule, and Valspar and Wells Fargo were the only two. And I think Wells Fargo is definitely higher than Valspar, and I just don't see him playing Honda. I think he's going to Farmers. I think, like, as much as we hate that course.
I do too.
I think that event has like prestige to it, if you get what I'm saying. If you look at the guys that have won that event and that course, you gotta be good to win at that course.
Right.
So I think he'll be there.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I do think the Honda is not as prestigious of an event, right?
It's a cool course, but
it's a cool course. And it has some history, I believe, with Tiger playing well there. But I don't think he'll be there this year. But even though he did mention last year, like when he played Arnold Palmer, that he'd just never come because they never fit, because it was right around the Players and he didn't want to play 6 or 7 weeks in a row. With that being said, he will be back at Arnold Palmer, we believe.
Yeah.
Very, very, very likely that is the case.
He did say that he would be back, so.
Yeah. And then the Players Championship, which now has a $20 million purse, which is kind of crazy. He will be there. He will try and make some putts and chip, which he can't seem to do around there.
It'll be the yearly cut grind as we. If anything, sometimes we don't even get that. Sometimes he's out of it Thursday morning.
70 holes last year of the players. He was leading in strokes gained approach. And like,
really?
Yeah.
I remember his driving was really good.
Yeah.
No, he always drives it well there, usually.
Tee to green was phenomenal. Well, the chipping wasn't great, but that had that like four chip on Friday.
Yeah.
And then almost missed the cut because of that. And then he splashed in the water, of course, on 17. So that changed a little bit. But that was like, it popped up and I'm like, oh my, like he just could not chip or putt. But he'll be there. He would not miss the players. And then, like you mentioned, the Valspar is the week after. I feel kind of bad because I think the Valspar is kind of a cool event in my mind.
And I think he wants to play it too.
It just doesn't fit at all. Too.
Right. And as a defending champ, right? Like, or not defending, but like a past champ, you want to be at events that you've won at.
Yeah.
But he does playing, even if he took the Honda off, playing our API, Valspar, WGC, Valero, and then the Masters is your
not fit. Happening.
Like that seems a little
I asked you this question the other day, Dan, and I was curious on your thoughts about it, Bob. If he missed the cut at API last year, do you think he'd skip API this year to play Valspar? I know it's a lot of ifs in there, but I'm curious, if he played poorly at API last year, would he not play it this year and then play Valspar?
No, I think he fell in. I think he fell in love with the course as soon as he played it. I really do. I think from what I heard from one of the guys that I talked to that's close with Jordan, who went to the tournament there to watch him play at the API. He had so much praise for it after the first round, even. So I think, especially that this schedule is very. It makes API very possible. It's very easy to skip. The Valspar, given he hasn't played it in a few years.
Right. Well, and especially with the victory at Valero, makes it a must go back to Valero. And he normally plays the week before the Masters anyway. But now that, you know,
I think that's good.
You can't skip the event you won last year.
I think that's perfect. And so I'm going to now go into what I think will be his first event this year that was not on the schedule last year is going to be the RBC Heritage. Cause I think it's just a perfect spot for him. I mean, you skip Valspar, you go to the match play, Valero Masters, and then RBC right after that. That's a perfect 4-week stretch before taking 2, maybe 3 weeks off. If he does decide to play the Zurich, which I don't see happening, but I mean, that's a very laid back week. So I wouldn't say that's out of the question. I know he's played that before. I'd give it about a 20% chance. I don't see it happening, but I think that's a good, because I do not think he's going to play Mexico. So I think that 4-week stretch is pretty good. Take those 3 weeks off, and then you have obviously the May stretch, which is one we can get into.
Sick. After that. Yeah. So going back to RBC, I don't have him playing RBC. So I think that's the first difference we have. I think we'll keep it just match play Valero and then Masters and then take off a period, but we'll see.
He really likes that course. I think the reason why he skipped that week, I think that was right around the time that he found out about the baby. I think he wanted to be home. Cause I think he did say he found out about the baby late March, right? He found out just before the Valero. So that would be the first week he could take off to spend with his wife. So I think that's the reason he didn't play. So I think he'll be back there this year because he played it most of his career, I believe. Obviously, he can't putt on those greens.
Well, especially the week after the Masters, adjusting from whatever they have the Masters at, 12, 13.
Yeah. Well, if he wins the Masters, then
big slider.
Which he won't is be there.
Well, he played that. In 2015. He played RBC after winning the Masters. And I think, like – I'm kind of torn on this one because it makes – you brought up, like, the four in a row. He'd go WGC, Valero, Masters, RBC. That makes sense on paper. But, man, sometimes those majors are just really draining, and I don't know if he wants to commit to something that isn't – like, he's not a defending champ. He has decent course history, but it's nothing like phenomenal. But the only reason I like think that it's not, it's definitely in the realm of possibilities is because it's the next like 4 weeks after the Masters before the Byron Nelson is like, well, are you just going to sit out 4 weeks?
I think he does. Because I think he'll sit. But I don't think – I think it'll be 3 weeks. I think I'll
play the RBC. Well, that's what I'm – because it closes the gap a lot better. Exactly. Because last year he said he was going to play Valspar in between the Masters and the Byron Nelson, but he got COVID, obviously, so he couldn't do that. Because he didn't want to take 4 weeks off in the middle of the season, especially when he was playing as well as he was. So playing the RBC would limit that break to 3 weeks, unless he wants to go to Mexico for a week.
No.
Please no. Please no. No offense.
Anything.
But it's a different course, but I think. That, I don't think it's Chapultepec.
It's not. I don't care. I mean, as bad as Chapultepec is, I mean, I just – no. I just – no. No. No.
Yeah, but it is an interesting, like – stretch after Augusta and before AT&T, where I think you could see him show up at RBC, but you could also see him show up at the Zurich, maybe with somebody just to.
I wouldn't be surprised. I legit wouldn't be surprised at that at all.
If he did that,
I'd rather see him play the Zurich and the RBC Heritage.
I agree. I think the Zurich is pretty fun, and I mean it counts as a PGA Tour win, right?
Yeah,
let me just tee it up with JT and get it
right. Exactly, and you're only he only plays one of those events though. Like there's at this point, there's at least a 2 week break somewhere in there.
Easily.
If it's could be three, could be all four, honestly, although I kind of doubt that, but I don't think there he's playing the RBC and the Wells. Like
I'd like to point one thing out that some people may not be aware of. The Wells Fargo is not at,
Quail Hollow
this year because
President's Cup.
Yeah, they're getting it set up for the President's Cup. I know my cousins are looking to become members at TPC Potomac.
Not too far from me either.
You said you played it, right, Jordan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
They will tear it up. They will tear it up.
Yeah. And I don't think Jordan wants to. I mean,
hear me out here. Wells Fargo is my second wild card. I don't think he plays it, but I think it being where it is. It's not too far from Under Armour. Might be some corporate stuff down there. Because I know at BMW, I was there. He was at a lot of the Under Armour events that they had scheduled because it was in the Baltimore area. Potomac's not too far from Under Armour, so I could see it maybe being a maybe. And then just on the schedule, I could see it fitting. I really could. I mean, he'd go Wells Fargo, Byron Nelson, PGA, Schwab Memorial, 5 weeks, then a week off before the U.S. Open. So I don't think it's impossible, if I'm being honest.
Yeah,
I don't think it's impossible.
I just think the 5 weeks is I don't know if he would be interested in that.
Well, I personally can't wait for the discussion once we get into the summer because I can guarantee you he is not taking 6 weeks off or eight of the 10 weeks off like
yeah.
the last.
But yeah, he's not just playing the majors. The this is also
that legitimately cost him the number one spot going into East Lake, which I think. Things have played out a lot differently, but we'll get into that. Obviously he's playing the Schwab. Obviously he's playing the
Memorial. Honestly, this is my favorite like 4 weeks. I mean, I love the Masters, but the Byron Nelson PGA Schwab Memorial stretch is like peak, like school's over, classes are done. And it's just like, watching golf at cool courses because I love Muirfield Village and obviously the PGA is a sick major and I think they covered ESPN does a good job of covering it so it's definitely one of my favorite 4 week stretches on it is my favorite 4 week stretch on tour but I just felt like I had to chip in there.
All right,
I don't know if you guys
so here's my hot take
feel
here's
the same
hot take
not.
I think it's time this is my hot take in the schedule. I have him playing 5 straight weeks beginning with the U.S. Open. I think he makes a return to the John Deere this year. I really do. I think the whole reason why he didn't play the John Deere in the past was the week after was the Open, and there's so much stress getting over there. Now that's the Scottish, he can go over there, he can still play, but he doesn't have that stress that he did before, which is, I mean, obviously you need more than a week over there, but now that he's playing the Genesis, he doesn't. I mean, not the Genesis. What is it? It's the Genesis.
The Genesis Scottish, right? Scottish Open.
Yeah. So the Scottish Open is Lynx Golf. Instead of getting three more days in wherever they're playing the Open, which is St. Andrews, he can just practice there. I think five straight weeks, U.S. Open, Travelers, John Deere, Genesis Scottish, and then the Open is happening. Because let me tell you right now, I do not see a world in which he plays the 3M Open or the Rockin' Mortgage Classic. And the Wyndham, I really don't see that either. I really don't, unless he needs FedEx Cup points. I don't think he wants to play it. I think that course is dog crap. And I think that's the ending. I think it's that 5 week stretch.
I intervene.
Yes.
I think we've heard enough. So
yeah, no wonder you're wearing your green today.
That's why. I think we get U.S. Open, Travelers, and then John Deere Classic week. He'll be on his next jet flight over to the UK.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
No offense. I want to see him play the John Deere. If that's a 5 week stretch, he's playing the Open as the fifth week.
Well, especially. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
And then if he plays the John Deere Classic, he's going to be so jet lagged when he plays the Scottish, because he's got to fly over from Illinois all the way to freaking, what, Scotland? Cares?
It's the Scottish.
Big deal. That's supposed to be a prep week, not a sleepwalking week.
Yeah.
Here's my opinion.
He's going to be the only guy playing the John Deere who plays the Scottish and then the Open. I don't see it.
I think it happens. I really do. I do not see a world in which he tees it up at Detroit Country Club or TPC Twin Cities. And he has to play one of those three. I'm sorry. He has to play one of those two or the John Deere. I just think that's two little tournaments. And he got himself into a hole last year that he shouldn't have got himself into. I think he has to play.
Dan, what do you think, Dan?
I disagree. This is blasphemy. I mean, okay, I am not opposed to him going back to the John Deere, but
none of us are.
He's coming, like, playing Byron Nelson PGA Schwab Memorial. That's a 4 week stretch, then a 1 week off at Canadian, and then five straight more, including two more majors in that stretch.
That's nine and ten.
John, and the only one you could. Unless he, no way, he I plays John Deere, unless he shows up at the Open or the Scottish, like, he's just going to be tired. Yeah. And we've talked about how much that baby, like I don't even think he's going to play, like, he's going to play more than he did last year, partly because he was dealing with some, I think it was some injury stuff.
He had COVID.
And then the wrist kind of in the summer.
True.
So
if he goes to
John Deere, like, props to you, Bob.
And I have a question.
But I'd highly, highly doubt that.
You think he's going to play 9 out of 10 weeks?
Is that what that would be?
Yes.
Yeah. With three majors.
Oh, God.
With three majors.
Is there a flaw that I actually have him playing 9 out of, which is the week he skipped? Just the RBC Canadian Open.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's too much golf.
As much as you hate it.
I'd like to change my opinion. At the same time, if he plays John Deere, I'm taking all the credit.
Go ahead.
That's fine.
So that's where I stand on that.
I will say
if it was not 9 out of 10 weeks, I'd stick to it. But that is ridiculous. 9 out of 10 is quite the stretch.
It's absurd, but we're gonna go post open now, and as much as you hate it, I think he shows up at the Rocket Mortgage.
Right now if he plays the Rocket Mortgage, I am not tracking that course. Is That's too fine. Hard to track. I am not tracking that course.
It fits perfectly. He gets a week off. Yes it does. Gets a week off after the Open. then plays Detroit, week off for Wyndham, and then the playoffs.
That's Bryson's show, not the speed show.
I love it.
I know Dan's gonna be torn because Dan loves
Dan, you can go to Detroit, can't you?
Exactly. I could go to the Detroit event. That'd be sick.
Dan will track for you. How about that?
That being said, I don't think he's showing up at Rocket Mortgage. I genuinely think he skips these last 3 weeks, but they are all interesting in the sense that, like, you could make a case for him to go to either one of them. Like, I know they're not premier events on the tour, but he actually talked about Minnesota last.
He's not playing Minnesota. No
chance.
It's the week after the Open.
I will say there's a better chance he plays Minnesota than Rocket Mortgage.
I don't know about that.
He's not playing the week after the Open.
Yeah.
No way.
But I don't think he plays Rocket Mortgage. And then Wyndham.
Wyndham is the highest of the three for sure.
Like Wyndham, you said, last year, Jordan, a little like at the end, like the Open is kind of it. For guys like them, I mean, you know, the money in the FedEx is fine, and the FedEx Cup is great. Is all, you know, it's all fine and dandy, right? And it, you know, you kind of need one to at least say I won the FedEx Cup in the era of the FedEx Cup. But he's already got one, so he doesn't care about he doesn't care about playing Memphis or Wilmington or East Lake all that well, right? Like, he is all in, and many of the top players are trying to peak for the Open, and then that's kind of it.
I would rather him skip the U.S. Open and play a Korn Ferry event than him play Detroit. Detroit is the worst golf course on tour. It's worse than TPC
Memphis.
It's worse than TPC Memphis.
You haven't seen the new Mexico course either, so I don't really think it's
fair. I can guarantee you that's better than Chapultepec, though. Chapultepec was a joke. The tree line was the fairway.
I remember.
At least Detroit is a golf. I will say Chapultepec was worse. At least Detroit is a golf course. It's just horrible.
Detroit's a historic venue.
Chapultepec is funny.
Every hole is 430 yards right down the middle.
I remember it was like maybe 2019 going on tour cat, maybe 2020. Like
Donald Ross put his heart and soul in the Detroit Golf Club. Rapping on it.
But at Chapultepec, like, he would hit these tee shots because with the elevation, you could hit a 5-iron, like 240. And he'd hit these balls that would just go so far right into the trees. And one of them was like 215. And I'm like, did you just hit like a 6-iron off the tee and put it into the woods? When in reality, you probably took driver, clunked it around some trees, hit a path, hit some purse. Chapultepec drove me crazy. But I thought it was cool because of all the drivable par fours, especially at the start. You could go birdie-birdie right off the bat.
That first hole is wild.
Yeah. Well, I mean, dudes, Rory and DJ were hitting 3-woods, getting it up there. And of course, JT was trying like a sling and hook or something.
Yeah, it's just not a good course for Jordan either. I mean,
No, it's not.
I'm just gonna say this: is there anything better than February to April? I mean, that is just some of the best golf.
Well, yeah. I mean,
API waste management. I mean, that's sick. What great golf courses are. The summer stretch is simply horrible. I get because you can't have Texas and Florida in the summer because it's just too brutal. But
summer months for you, May and June?
No, here's the thing.
Because July we get Scottish in the Open.
I think it'll be
better this year.
Doesn't count.
I just mean the tour schedule.
I think like when you talk about like summer, like mid-July and on, it sucks. It's kind of like done. Once the Open is over,
you get the Rocket Mortgage.
Nothing that exciting about the schedule. There's just not. Like, and the playoffs aren't that exciting.
No one gives a crap about the playoffs.
Not even
Jordan gives a crap about the playoffs.
But yeah. But like, I mean, like you said, dude, I mean, waste management, Arnold Palmer. And for me, like, I love the Memorial. I think the Scottish is going to be sick.
The Scottish,
it was good last year. And then the Open is like, I don't even know where to place it on my favorite major, but like when it's open week, it's I can't even just, it's just so perfect.
There was nothing. I mean, waking up for that first round, 4 a.m. for him leading a golf tournament at 9 a.m. through one round, that was sick. Awesome.
It's sick.
But
it's awesome.
So I think we should predict our major winners. But first, I want to talk about the new prediction challenge we're going to do. So basically, each week, we're going to have 100 points, but we're not actually placing these bets. But we're going to have 100 points. We're going to put them on different things, like who we think is going to place top 10, who we think is going to place top 25, or whatever we decide to put it on. You have three options, essentially, to place on whatever you want. But if you can guess one of these major winners, right, I think we give 1,000 bonus points for the end of the season. And then at some point, like by March, we'll come up with something for the winner. We don't have that right now, but I don't know. I need a second to look and think.
Well, I mean, for the 1,000 points, we could do the major winner prediction. Like, we're going to do them right now, what we think. And then when we do our weekly, like, Jordan previews, we can, like, say someone else, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
So who's going to be in form in April?
Yeah, exactly. This is just blind based on what we think right now.
We will give you our four just going into January, just right now.
Unfortunately, I have a wild card.
Okay. I think Dan has a few too.
I have a wild card for the U.S. Open.
I do as well. Well, I don't know if it's as much of a wild card, but it's – I don't like the pick.
All right, let me take a look at the schedule one more time. Let me look at the official golf rankings, just see what's going on. We'll start with the Masters. My pick is obviously – I'm not going to let myself pick Spieth, even though I'd never bet against Spieth. So
Spieth has a chance then.
Spieth is not my pick for the Masters, even though it kind of is. But he's not my pick that I'm placing right now. And my pick for the Masters this year, Victor Hovland.
Oh, wow. He's been playing well, but I feel like there's something.
I don't think it's that course that fits him. I just think that he just shows up that week and plays some golf.
That's fair. I feel like there's something about the Masters though that's like kind of magical. Like you need to be like
not Victor Hovland, is that what you're saying?
Kind of. Like Victor Hovland's a really, really he's that dude. Like he's gonna be a top five player for a while. But I think he fits. I don't think he wins at the Masters. Like, I don't think that's his first major. He could win at the Masters, but I think he conquers like a PGA before he gets Augusta.
I agree. I have something that if you're a Victor Hovland fan, you're probably not going to want to hear this. And I've been saying a lot of good things about Victor Hovland, but he gives me the vibes of a guy that's leading on Sunday who gets to 12 and puts it in the water. I think he'll win a major and multiple majors, but his first one's just not going to be at Augusta.
All right. Well, he's my pick.
I have the most obvious, most boring pick, Jon Rahm.
Oh.
I was thinking Morikawa, I'm not going to lie.
You can't really hate on that pick. I mean, he's played well at Augusta, and he's the best player in the world. So he's just a force. Again,
he is.
When we're doing our Masters preview in 4 months from now, if Jordan's in form, it's going to be very hard to pick against Jordan. But
I mean, obviously.
Right,
I mean,
now, I'll go Jon Rahm.
I mean, Jordan had probably the worst putting performance of his life at Augusta and finished tied third.
So. Oh, yeah. No, if he puts field average that week, he wins by like three.
And we'll talk about aim point as well in the Kapalua preview as well. But so you have – I have Hovland. You have Rahm. We should pick that.
Brooks.
Oh. Oh wow! Okay.
He's done. Good.
Done.
He's a stud, and this is. I don't know what it is, but he finished the year playing pretty well. I mean, the hero, whatever, he played okay, but I haven't heard any like Brooks is hurt in a while, and I think he's hungry and he wants more. So, yeah, Brooks. He's played well at Augusta, too. I think he was there when Tiger won. He wasn't there in last year because he was hurt. And he had to he was doing the Spider-Man to read the greens. But I think Brooks gets it done at Augusta National this year.
Hideki will be putting the jacket on Brooks.
Yeah.
All right. I like that pick. All right. So we're on the PGA.
PGA. Yeah. Now let Southern me say Hills. This right now.
I'll go first.
Can I just say something before we predict? I really want Jordan to win this because I think this is his best chance in the next like 10 years to get a PGA. This course is screams Augusta National to me. It's just like if it has that feel. It just has that kind of, if there's anything that has a layout, I feel like it's that one.
Actually, from what I say that
I don't know much about like the actual statistics that go into that course, but it just from what I've seen, I mean, just like this is the picture that sticks in my head. And then I'll send to the group chat right now for you guys all to see, or no, I'll just pull it up on this so everyone can see. I mean, it's just the bunkering, the way the trees are lined up. I'll put it on the screen. It's just like this just screams Augusta National to me for some reason, just the way the bunkers are. I know that's random, but
it's green.
It's green. Yeah, it's very green.
It's green.
Do they paint their fairways?
Maybe they do. I don't know.
Maybe.
But yeah, so. But he's not my pick for, but you can go first.
Jordan. I'll go first. PGA champion, Brooks Koepka.
Number three.
I agree with Dan. I don't think it'll be Masters, but I think Brooks is winning a major this year. I think he's hungry, as Dan said. And a PGA is a Brooks major. So true. No offense to the Masters, well, but he can win PGAs.
Dan?
Me?
Actually, it's no, funny. I'll go because I want to go last for the U.S. Open. Because okay. I want to go last for the U.S. Open.
Okay.
So this is probably my most wild card of the four. My pick for the PGA Championship.
Robert Straub.
No reasoning behind it whatsoever. It's just such a gut feeling. Sam Burns.
I could see that.
It just feels like one of those like tournaments that he'd win, you know? It's like PGA Championship. You know, and he's a baller. Like he plays good golf.
Yeah, I could see that. That's a pretty good like wild card pick.
Yeah.
And he's probably like, if you look him up, he's probably like 40 to 1.
I wouldn't be surprised if he wins a major this year whatsoever.
Yeah, me neither. Although
that guy is good at golf.
It's going to be at, I think this is the spot he would. It's not, you're not winning at a guy. He doesn't have the magic.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He's not,
I agree. That's essentially why I picked PGA. But yeah, I agree. All right, Dan. Okay.
Well, it's so funny that you mentioned that it looks like Augusta because I looked at the scorecard. I looked at some pictures, but Rory McIlroy is winning the PGA Championship. And it's been a long time coming since Rory has won a major, right? It'll be 8 years since the 2014 PGA. But I just thought it was funny you mentioned it looked like Augusta because we know he has like demons at Augusta that he can't seem to overcome and win at the Masters, but he's going to win another major at a course that looks like Augusta, but he's due. And he played well at the CJ Cup. I think he's figuring his game out again. And I don't know. I think Rory's going to have a really, really good year. And I think he's going to have a major to sort of bolster his resume for the season.
I don't hate that. Mm. I mean, I hate it. I'd hate to see that happen. But I don't hate the pick.
I could go first for Brookline.
Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking a lot about this, and I think there's just such an easy one that I'm gonna mention it, but it's not my pick. But this seems like this has Colin Morikawa written all over it.
Yeah.
Small greens, tight fairways, hit it straight, U.S. Open, and he's in Fuego right now in the majors. But this is a U.S. Open, and nobody represents the red, white, and blue better than Mr. Patrick Reed, and he's going to win the U.S. Open. And I'm telling you, I don't feel that great about this pick.
Let me let it be known that I think Bob and I will both be at the U.S. Open, and we're both demanding refunds if Patrick Reed wins the U.S.
No, Open. No, I'm telling you. Right? From what I've heard, right, small greens, got to have a good short game, tight fairways. I mean, Reed's not a bomber, but when he's playing well, he's got that tight draw.
It's not that long, so, like, yeah, he don't need to be long.
I think Patrick Reed is live at the U.S. Open. I was originally going to go Morikawa, but I was like, nah. And then I was like, I think Rory's going to win a major. So I'm like, He'll do it at the PGA. This seems like a Patrick Reed course to me. So,
all right, it's fair.
I'm second, right?
Yeah,
you are.
Because Bob has like some big surprise up his sleeve, I think.
Is it a 50-year-old guy?
Actually, we'll wait.
All right, I'll go second. So I had Morikawa originally, and then I changed it. And again, I'm going really off out of right field here. I'm going with Patrick Cantlay. Another Patrick.
It's not out of right field.
That's not
interesting, though. I don't know if
it's interesting, but
I like Cantlay. Yeah, it's another boring one, but you know.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
I think a lot of – this is like St. Andrews kind of. Well, goodness, St. Andrews. But I think a lot of guys could win here. It's not long. Yeah. It's not your typical U.S. Open. Agree. The greens are small. So, literally, I mean, if Zach Johnson is hitting it straight that week, he hits it to the center of the – that's what you're going to have to do. And I think Patrick Cantlay gets streaky with the putter. He's a great ball striker. He could win at Brookline.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I'm curious to see how Cantlay does this year, coming off 4 wins – this past year or the past season, right? Like, that's a breakout year. But he hasn't really been there in a major. I know he finished good at the PGA last year at Kiowa, but he had, like, a great Sunday, I think, or maybe Saturday and Sunday. So, I don't know. I'm curious to see what he's got in the tank for 2022. Curious to what Bob has in the tank for his U.S. Open prediction.
You guys are going to absolutely hate this.
Oh, Justin Thomas.
But unfortunately for all of us, my pick for the U.S. Open is Jordan Spieth.
Why would I hate that?
The reason why is because now I've jinxed him and there's no chance.
Whenever Bob loses.
But I've seen the course. I've never played it, but I have seen the course. I've driven by it. I've walked by it. It is just, I mean, there's no, you cannot win here unless you can get up and down. Like, I think the greens are honestly, it's like Wingfoot where the fairways were so tight that no one was going to hit them. So it was just whoever could hit the furthest. The greens are so small that no matter how good your irons are, you're still going to have to get up and down 30, 40 times. Like, that's just what's going to happen. And I think
the wind blows that week.
If the wind blows, I mean, small greens, you have to be able to get up and down. You have to putt. I think he's driving it fine. I think he's driving it absolutely fine right now. I think that will continue. I think this is his best chance to win a major this year. Besides the Masters, unfortunately, this is his best chance to win a major just because all 4 of these courses fit his game. He's never going to get another U.S. Open course like this. For a very long time. Ever. So we were lucky they took advantage of Chambers Bay.
If they go back to Pebble Beach, he'll have a good chance there.
I disagree. Yeah. I just think the way that they set that up, I don't think. I don't know. He's never played well.
I hate those greens. I don't like Pebble greens.
Yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned getting up and down because that's part of the reason I went with P. Reed. And I know that it seems like a Morikawa course. And his short game has improved quite a bit. But I think that would be the one area of concern for specifically Morikawa is like, all right, if you miss 3-4 greens and some spots, like also he hasn't been in a major that he's lost. You know what I'm saying? Like he's 2-for-2 in moments where he's like in it. And at some point, that's not going to keep happening. Yeah. So
I hear what you're saying.
I think he'll be in it because he's that good. But I don't know. I don't think he'll be able to get it up and down enough times or hit the green enough times to give himself a chance.
That's fair.
On the 71st, 72nd hole. But I'm excited for the U.S. Open. I think that's going to be – I mean, all the majors are great, right? But I think it's going to be a lot more fun than maybe some of the previous U.S. Opens in terms of the course and the
– Boston's sick. So.
Just the way that the tournament's going to shake out.
Yeah.
So, leads us to the Open, the original. St. Andrews, talking about courses, that's the, like – iconic course, maybe in the world. Probably. All right.
I have a feeling we're going to have the same answers here.
I'd like to say something before I make my pick as well. Once again, I think that the obvious pick is Bryson, but I think that the reason he's not going to win is because he's so obvious. Remember when he was like the obvious pick to win the, Masters?
Yeah, that's I agree.
I don't know if it's the obvious pick,
but I don't think. I also feel like, in the same way I said, there's like that magic about the Masters. I feel like it's kind of the same thing at St. Andrews. And Bryson's interesting, right? Because he can drive all these greens because there's a bunch of short par fours, and he's a phenomenal putter. But I'll be curious to see if he has added any sort of like creativity to his short game or to his like style at all. Cause it seems like you need some sort of like, cause at St. Andrews, you're not going to always hit it in these spots where it's not an easy up and down. Cause there's all these undulations and slopes and it's going to be difficult in certain spots. But he's at a big advantage if he gets it up around all those par fours. So that's interesting. I didn't think really about Bryson, but you're right that he could very well make some noise at St. Andrews.
Is it your pick, though?
I'll start.
Go ahead.
Louis Oosthuizen.
Wow.
Yeah, I think he gets it done finally. He needs it. I mean, I do. I know he's old, but I think that you don't need to hit the ball far. And if everything else is clicking, I don't know. He loves these moments. I think it's his time.
He finally pulls through.
He finally pulls through for the first time in 13 years in a major.
That's fair. I'll go second. And as I said, I had a feeling that we would have the same answers here. And we do, because I have Louis Oosthuizen winning the Open, too. Wow. Unless he hits it out of bounds on the road hole on Sunday, there's not a whole lot of trouble for him to make in a bunch of bogeys like he tends to do, like he did at Torrey Pines where he hit it off the cliff. I think this is an easier, no offense to St. Andrews, but it's an easier one to close out, if you get what I'm saying. There's not a whole lot of trouble.
Well, 17 is
unless you try and disastrous. Get
two. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple holes, but it's not like Kiowa or Torrey Pines where there's a cliff. Or
yeah.
I don't know. And I think, again, I think it's his time. I see him winning another major before he hangs him up. And I think it'll be this one.
Interesting. I do not have Louis Oosthuizen winning the Open.
So there's two picks for Louis.
Two picks for Louis.
Wow.
It's interesting. We're going Brooks Koepka.
Oh my God. So you have him winning the Slam this year?
Yeah, I do.
Holy.
And I told Jordan before we came on, before we started recording, I said, I think somebody's winning the Slam this year. And he's like, oh, Phil, like, don't say Phil. Don't pick Rory. Like, I told him.
I didn't see that coming.
But Brooks Koepka gets the Slam done. And let me tell you, I don't know what the stat is exactly, but it's something about how everybody has completed the Slam within like 3 years of winning the third one. And I know that Koepka, yeah. So but I don't know. Spieth is
out of time.
He kind of like wasn't Spieth for 3 years. Anyway, it seems like recently, like when you win a major, you are like in it again at another major, like quickly. Maybe not the next one, but like, you know, two majors down the line or the next year, like we saw with Markow at the PGA, follows it up with an Open, right? Like there's a like, you get one and you're just sky high on confidence. Like Spieth, obviously, you know, he almost ran the table in 15. And I just think Brooks is like one of those dudes that like, he also really cares about getting that Slam. And he said that he wants to win at St. Andrews and he thinks he will. And he's been there at the Masters, right? So if he gets that done, and I think he's got a lot of confidence to go into St. Andrews and get that done as well. And I think out of the past, other than, you know, Rory, he's like, or not Rory, but like he has been the major killer, right? Like he is there all the time. So to me, it makes sense that he joins the elite list of people that have the career Grand Slam. And I think he gets it done this year because I think it St. Andrews is a good course for him. Not that other open venues aren't, but I think this really means something to him.
I wonder if Brooks Koepka tracker is listening right now. Music to his ears. Or he's thinking you're jinxing him. So
no, I mean, I don't know. I did predict that Robert Streb top 10.
Right. Ooh, back. Robert Streb.
Yeah. Where do we think Streb finishing this year?
How is he's got to qualify him.
Is he qualified for any of them?
Is he in the Masters?
He better be. They got to get a sponsors exemption in there.
Sponsors exemption to a major. Only Streb could pull that off.
All right. I'd like to, before we stop, I'd like to throw out a few like miscellaneous questions to see what you guys have. So my first one is, who do you guys think wins the most tour events this year? And I have an answer that I don't even like, but I think I have.
Well, does the tour championship count as?
No.
What about the scoring in the tour championship?
No, just take it out.
So that one doesn't count?
Correct.
Because at that point, I was going to say Brooks. That's a great question. Do you have an answer?
I do too. And my answer, I don't even like because I don't love this player. It's not Justin Thomas, but Xander Schauffele. Because I think the past few years, he's barely won it all, but he's always been right there. I just think now that he's won the gold medal, I think he learned how to win. I think he just wins like three or four this year and just picks them off. I don't really think any of them are big events. I think he'll pick off like maybe the Century, and like pick off, maybe the Waste Management and like the Travelers, you know what I mean? Just like some of those tournaments. I don't see him winning a major by any means, but yeah, I think Schauffele wins like three or four.
I got another boring answer. I apologize to the viewers for not being bold because just it's difficult. I'm going Colin. Just the iron play. I mean, just get that to get the putter semi-hot and he'll win. I think he wins three times. I don't think anyone wins over three times this year. That's, yeah. I guess, a semi-bold prediction. Cantlay won four, right?
Yeah, well, four. He won the Tour
Three champ, real ones, then
won the Memorial because Rahm had to withdraw.
All right. Ah, that's true. Yeah, so I got no one going over three. I think three. Colin will win three. No majors, though. He's going to wait a year.
Ooh.
I'm going to go Victor Hovland.
I like it.
I love it.
I think he has.
I used to really not like Hovland. I'd call myself a fan now. I like Hovland.
And he already has one, right? Like he won Mayakoba. So yeah, that's one on the books. And I think like he plays well in the double. Well, I guess there's only one WGC this year, but like I don't know. I just think he can win a lot of tournaments. I don't think he wins any like big ones, but I do think he gets a more prominent one. Like I'm trying to think of like a.
I was gonna say the same thing. I see him winning.
He gets like a pretty good where you're like
a Genesis.
That's a good win. Yeah, something like that, like an Arnold Palmer, the Memorial maybe. Like I could see him winning that, and then also picking off like Rocket Mortgage and
that Spieth tournament actually.
All right. yeah.
I don't even know where else he plays.
Well, I have one more. That's how many tournaments does Spieth win and which ones? And I have an answer. I don't know. Do you guys?
Two.
I have one.
He's winning two.
I think he wins the Charles Schwab Challenge. And that is it, personally.
That's a crappy year. I was about to say that.
That would not be a successful year, but I do think that's what happens.
I have two. Okay. I'm going to say Pebble and Schwab.
Okay.
I know.
I'm also not sure if that's a successful year. Ah, it's two wins.
I mean, if you win two, I know those are kind of boring answers, especially because
I don't see him winning Pebble this year, though.
Nobody's playing at Pebble this year.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm going to do it.
But I mean, Schwab is like you should win Schwab. If you're playing, if you have your B plus game, you should win Schwab.
Did any of you guys watch the Schwab when it was on TV?
No.
That was so painful. Oh my God. I couldn't, I was babysitting and I was sitting with the baby on the couch when it was somehow on, and I couldn't move because the baby was sleeping to like change the channel. So I was just sitting there for like an hour and a half watching Jason Kokrak almost hit it in the water, but then make a birdie from off the green on the 13th hole. And that guy gives me nightmares, but
Kokrak. He won three times this past year in a way.
What do you mean, Schwab?
What, CJ? Or never mind. I'm tripping.
He won in Vegas.
He won in Vegas. He won Schwab, and then he won that like thing with Kevin Na, the QB shootout.
Yeah. So imagine Kokrak has the most wins this year. Oh my God!
I don't see it happening.
Good for him.
I wouldn't even be surprised at this point. Like that guy just picks off the most random, undeserving wins. Sorry, but I mean. He did not even deserve that Charles Schwab win. I mean, Spieth literally gave it to him on a silver plate and said, "Here you go, take it."
And he's still almost kind of like,
and he still almost lost
it exactly. Out the drain. I don't know. Kokrak's he's a really solid player. He could show up at Southern Hills. Southern Hills is like the big boy golf.
Can you imagine Kokrak beating Spieth in a one-on-one Sunday at Southern Hills for the Slam? Would you ever like be able to like live with yourself? I don't know if I could. I really don't know if I could.
I don't know if Spieth could, honestly. Probably gives him one, and that'd be horrible. Kokrak takes his baby, basically. The only one he needs. I mean, literally, think about that. I mean, not his literal. literally. There's no other tournament.
That would be horrible. It would be horrible. It would be so painful.
What would he?
I guess I came out wrong, but you get what I'm saying.
He would trade all of his other wins for that one.
Absolutely.
And Kokrak.
I got to give you guys my two wins this year because I'm finally going to get bold. He's going to win the Charles Schwab.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know the other tournament that Jordan Spieth is going to win?
Rocket Mortgage?
The Players' Championship. Nice. I'm getting bold because if you look at his stats, he drives it literally better there than probably nearly any other course on tour for the most part. Look at the stats. Bob, get your hands off your head and listen. The iron play this year was fantastic. He's supposedly one of the best putters of all time, right? It's going to take
That's so funny. I love that. Like,
it's going to take one good putting week there for him.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And we'll Venmo you $10 for every stroke he wins by if he wins that tournament.
Go ahead. I'll also say it here. If he doesn't win it this year, he's going to win it sometime in his career.
I wouldn't be surprised if one actually.
I think it's this year.
I'd be very surprised if that happened. I'm not going to lie. I really don't see that happening.
He's going to figure out the putter one week there.
I don't know, man. That's bold. I don't know. There's.
No, I think that'd course. Be a successful year too. So
if I had a gun to my head, and I had to place any bet in my life, I'd bet on him to not win that tournament. I think
that's Chapultepec. If Chapultepec was still there,
I think he'd have a better chance at Chapultepec. I really
no
do.
Way.
No yeah, way. I really do. I really do. At least he was leading Chapultepec once.
Like on Thursday, two holes in?
No, I think for two rounds he was leading that year that he like led every tournament after the first two rounds and choked on the weekend. Remember that year? That year was horrible.
Oh, 19.
Yeah, he exactly. Was in
the final group at Genesis on Saturday.
Oh, how did that even happen?
And then he shot an 81 on Sunday with a birdie on the first.
He started strong.
He made a 2 through an 8 on that Sunday. He made everything, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Impressive. That's crazy. Yeah. I could see players.
I think it's gonna happen. That's my bold prediction. I haven't been too bold with my prediction.
Legends of the game seem to figure out how to win the big like tournaments, I guess. Yeah. I know the PGA Tour is trying to push the Players as like the premier event on tour.
No, it's not, but it's a cool event to win.
But if you have it on your resume, it's like, you know, You did something right, and you made a crap ton of money doing it, because by far it's like $7 million bigger than every other purse.
Bob, you are really,
I'm really upset with this fake. I think that's just,
I'm sorry,
clickbait. Like, you're just trying to get views with that one.
Says the guy who wanted him to play 9 out of 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Come on, Bob. Okay. We've all had our moments. Dan, you said that Bryce was more popular than Speed. So,
dude, that was so funny. The other day it came up on Twitter, like the most popular tournaments or whatever, most viewed. And
these are like all up there,
and like Bryson's like Arnold Palmer. Like, I think Saturday was only like a couple, it was like 100,000 viewers behind Sunday. And if you remember Saturday, Spieth just like, he went birdie, ace, wet tee shot, made par. Like, that was hit that people were watching because of him.
Well, and because,
and like, I mean,
Pebble was like one of the highest tournaments, right?
Yeah, and
there's
like
literally Valero, no one else in Pebble.
Valero was way up there. It was like greater than Wells Fargo was like behind Pebble, Valero, all these other ones, and it's just
I don't know. I really.
What was I even thinking? To be honest,
Jordan, just it's something about him.
He moves the needle.
That's the way I know. That's the easy way of saying it. It's just, I think
he's got the magic beans.
When he won the Masters in 15, it. How old was he? 21. Yeah, whatever. What is it? 21, 22. There's something about that.
I'll say this. I think that over the past few years, the Spieth hate has also really grown.
Oh, good. Sure. I hope it keeps growing, honestly. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. He's no longer that the lovable guy on tour. There's a good amount of people who dislike him now.
Yeah.
I've started to realize that. I guess Twitter kind of helps, but
there's a lot of people. I just want him to win a big event this year so I can go on Twitter and just, you know, say some nice things to those people.
I will say his fans play part of it. They're some annoying fans. It's kind of like Tiger.
When a certain fan base is lashing out over the PIP voting, I mean,
yeah, that was
pretty, that was not a great look, especially since Tiger couldn't have cared less about it. In the least.
I mean, and it's like, okay, well, he's going to finish second then. Who cares? Like, who cares who's the most popular golfer on the planet in terms of this PIP, which is like
who Spieth's dad created.
Right. It's like a system that has four factors that somehow gets added up to some magic number. And it's like,
it's multimillionaires getting more multi-millions of dollars. Like, it's just
right. And to be fair, like, Tiger and Phil probably, I don't know how to quite word this, but they might, you know, deserve, it's like the tour is kind of paying them for all the things that they did for the game in the past. But like, it's just a popularity contest.
Yeah, there's a better use of the money.
Really not that big of a deal. Like, if Spieth was second or first or whatever,
I don't care.
And I think they're just salty that Tiger didn't win something. And it's like,
this cares, really. No.
But he had a great week at PNC. Apparently it's not even over either. Like, did Phil actually win or did
Phil won. Phil would not have tweeted that if. That would be a worse nightmare for us. Imagine all the Tiger fans get the satisfaction.
Yeah. But then somebody was saying like Phil tweeted it.
So he could
lock it up.
Maybe
he just created so much like Twitter, but I don't even think it's all that like I'm sure Twitter has something to do with it, but it can't be like 90% of what decides the PIP is like how many times you get searched up on Twitter or involved in Twitter, you know? So whatever. I step
it is
up.
What it is. Who cares, honestly?
Yeah.
We're on to Kapalua. That's what we're on to.
We are on to Kapalua.
I don't know. I'm not going to lie. Early prediction. I don't love Spieth chances this week. Which will mean he'll win because I predicted a win and he came in last by 5.
Yeah. Just a little preview for the Kapalua prediction podcast that's coming out in a couple of days. I don't think any of us three really love his chances this week, but it is a 30.
I don't.
it's a 39 man field. So
I don't love his chances for the next few weeks. I'm not going to lie. I do not think he's in a great spot right now.
Until he comes in second at Kapalua, and then you're picking him to win Sony.
And then he'll come in dead last.
Didn't some like dude tweet about him playing golf? Like it was him and
Jake. He's already in Hawaii.
Yeah.
With JT. Good. They were playing at a local club.
Yeah. So. That's cool. I'm glad they won because they better have. If you're whoever that guy is in a 4 handicap playing a scramble and you're 2 PGA top 20 players in the world as a best ball and you can't beat them.
If we have any Under Armour people that are listening to, please release the camo speed hat that Jordan was wearing in Hawaii from that photo. Give us the camo speed hat.
They want
please.
And you can send us some free stuff if you want. Just DM us. We'll give you our addresses. So. But I don't know. There was a sick hat that just got dropped. Have you guys seen it?
Which one is it?
I'll share it right now. Speed hats.
It's what you do in your free time, Bob.
Unfortunately, yes.
The speed hat drops.
Unfortunately, yes. Well, this is the one I bought the viewer.
That's pretty funny.
I love it.
I like that one.
Love it.
It matches so the sick. Belt that I have. That is
so sick. Such a good color. I'm buying that immediately.
What's on it?
Actually, I'll buy it on stream. No, I'm kidding. I'll buy it after. But.
Those tees?
Are they what?
Tees. What's the like lines on the hat? Tees?
Just like a design.
No, they are tees. You're right. If you zoom
are
in,
they tees?
Yeah, that's sick. Oh, I'm buying that so fast. Okay, cool. If you zoom in, it does look like it's like a tee design. Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah, I'm buying that. And if the Dolphins make the playoffs, I'll give it away to one of you guys. So go Dolphins.
If the Dolphins make the playoffs.
The Patriots don't. If the Dolphins make the playoffs, the Patriots don't. Have you realized that?
That's not true, Bob.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. You guys are not making – you guys – because you guys can't pass the Dolphins.
False.
If the Dolphins win out, you can't pass them.
That is true.
So what? The Dolphins are going to get the 6th seed? No way. Dolphins are getting the 7th seed at best.
No. Not true.
Yes.
Not true. The Patriots clinch this week if they beat Jacksonville. And
is that
the,
true? That's devastating.
Raiders lose. And the Raiders, Colts and the Ravens play the Rams.
We do play the Rams. Thanks for reminding me.
So, like, if we beat Jacksonville and we just got our Brian Hoyer back, so we should, right? And Matt Judon and Jawan Bentley. Like, we'll be fine. If we better be fine. But if we win, we're in, pretty much. And then you just stop acting like you're going to beat the Titans and the Patriots at the end of the year.
Oh, no.
You could beat the Patriots for sure, but
Titans are not that good.
Yeah, but they're I think they're 6-1 with A.J. Brown and Julio in the lineup.
Oh, no. Ryan Tannehill went revenge, though, so.
That's true.
Every episode we get off track
this. You're not playing Ian Book this week either. True. So it's a little bit different.
Tua's a baller.
Tua is a game manager at best.
He's 12-7.
Mac Jones, though.
He is bad.
He's great now. Mac Jones is good.
I think we should just end it there. Mac Jones, subpar to Tua. So we'll end right there.
As of right now.
As of right now, I'll take it.
We hope you guys enjoy the extra bonus football talk.
Yeah, you guys can just end the episode 10 minutes early if you want. Doesn't matter.
We do this all the time, don't we?
Every episode.
We kind of just start spewballing at the end. It's like a – I don't know. Continue with what you were saying.
I think that's all we got. That's about it we have for this podcast. We'll be back in a couple of days with the Kapalua preview predictions for who we think is going to win it. And we'll start our little prediction game.
Yeah.
Got the Excel spreadsheet ready for that.
So, you actually?
Yeah, I got it all ready for next podcast.
Oh, boy. So, well done, sir.
When we record that, it is ready to go.
Well, I'm going to do some big research in that. I plan on winning that thing big time.
Okay, Bob.
I'm taking this home.
You'll have to explain the rules because
we'll have to do it. Yeah, we'll have to explain it to them too. It's essentially we're placing 3 bets with artificial money that's not real. And you have a
prize that will be real.
Hopefully. That for a prize, it will be real. And you have 100 essentially fake dollars to place on that's three bets. And you can basically just put them based on whatever you feel most confident on.
Okay. Every week. I'll just put them all on Streb top 10s then. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't hate that. But yeah, cool. Should be good.
That's all I got. Kepka's completing the slam, baby. Mark it. Mark it down.
All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed. It was a nice break, I won't lie, but we're back. We're ready to grind. I'm not going to lie. I kind of have that itch for some PGA Tour golf, for some Jordan Spieth golf, and the fact that it's prime time. I'm sure it's morning tea time even will be like 2:30. So
yeah, we're kind of like those people that they say they're going to leave and they like dap up and then they like they keep talking and then they dap up again.
So we're just going to cut it right now. It was good to be back, and we'll see you on we'll drop the Capital preview Wednesday. So
peace.
Take care. Peace.